Would you join me in prayer? Let's pray together. Father, we want to come before you with great thanksgiving. Thanking you for being God. Beyond you, there is no other. Thanking you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who, Father, loved us so much that he endured Calvary, that we might reign eternally with him. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that dwells in us, that works with our spirit in the transformative process, Father, of changing us into the image of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We give you all the praise and the glory. And Father, we look forward to all that can be accomplished and will be accomplished at this place because of you. And we pray it all in Jesus, our Lord's name. Amen. I feel kind of like the four-year-old who is going to Disney World for the first time. His parents got the car packed and they began the journey from Nashville to Florida. And they got down to Smyrna, and their little four-year-old said, "Daddy, are we there yet?" And Daddy said, "No, son, we've got a long way to go, so just get comfortable. I'll let you know when we're there." Well, they rode a little bit further, got down to Murfreesboro, and the little four-year-old said, "Daddy, are we there yet?" And he says, "Son, no, we're not there yet. I told you I will let you know when we get there." They got down to about Manchester, and the little boy said, "Daddy, are we there yet?" And the dad said, "Son, if you ask me that question one more time, we're going to turn around and go back to Nashville." The little boy thought about that, got down to Mount Eagle, and said, "Dad, will I still be four when we get there?" I was beginning to wonder if I would still be preaching here before I got to preach. And so I'm excited that today has finally gotten here. Thank you so much for being here today. I do want to express gratitude, first of all, to the elders here. You heard their hearts this morning, their prayers. I've been able to enjoy that now for a little over a month, and I can tell you that they love this church, they love this community, they want to make a difference for God, and I'm just glad to be a part and a partner with them in trying to do that here at the Hendersonville Church of Christ. And let me say thank you to all the staff, both the ministerial and administrative staff. They have welcomed me with open arms. It has been absolutely wonderful. And I'm so appreciative to be a part of the team. And let me tell you, it is a team effort. I've never seen a church, and that's what impressed me when I came here. I've never seen a church as equipped to make a difference in the community as this church. But most of all, I want to thank you, members. You have encouraged me in June in ways you cannot imagine, and I appreciate it. And you've sent cards, you've expressed your appreciation for us coming and being here. You've encouraged us with your prayers. I know so many of you have been praying for us. Continue to pray for us. I'd appreciate that very much. And let me just tell you that there's an important passage in the Greek. Now, it's not in the English. Brother Rodney, I'm sure, will back this up for me. But in the Greek, Peter comes to Jesus one day and he says, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother for not remembering my name? Up to seven times." To which Jesus said, "Oh no, not up to seven, but up to 70 times seven." And so you need to know that if I don't remember your name, Jesus has urged you to forgive me for that 490 times. All right? Now, like I said, that's not in the English, but in the Greek, you'll pick that up. It's a very important thing to understand. One of the first persons that invited me out to eat after we announced we were coming was Brother Bob Abney. Isn't he a wonderful brother? Him and his wife, just a great couple, great servants of God. And we were eating over at Cracker Barrels. I mean, I walked in and the waitress came up to Bob and said, "You want your usual?" You know, that means you've been eating at Cracker Barrel too long, you know? And so anyway, Bob, we were sitting there talking and some other good brothers was with us. And finally, we got down to the end and Bob asked me a very serious question. He said, "Leslie, I want to know one thing. What are you going to focus on preaching?" I said, "Bob, I want to focus on Jesus Christ." And Bob said, "That's all I need to hear." And that's what I want to tell you in coming to be the minister here, the preaching minister of this church. I want us to be a church that focuses on Jesus Christ. You see, if we're not careful, we can focus on the part that says Hendersonville, Church of Christ. And we can talk about the history of Hendersonville and the beauty and wonder of Hendersonville. What a wonderful community Hendersonville is. And you know, all of that is true, but that's not what we as a church need to focus on. Or we could focus on Hendersonville Church of Christ. And we can talk about church and the importance of church and what we need to do here at this church. And you know what? That's true. The church is important. It's the body of Christ. But can I tell you that if we're going to focus on anything, we need to focus on the Hendersonville Church of Christ. That's where our emphasis needs to be. And I want to challenge all of us, because you know that's what God has called us to be, the presence of His Son in this world. God wants people out in this community to see us and to see something different about us, and because they see something different, to be attracted to us and therefore through us to Jesus Christ. I want to ask you to turn to the book of John. And for my brothers up there in the sound booth, I'm just going to skip my slides this morning. I'd prepared some slides, but I think I'm just going to skip those and just go straight from the text. John chapter 1. I've chosen to preach through John for several months to come, primarily because about a year and a half ago, I spent over a year working through the text of John. I love the Gospel of John. John is the fourth of our four Gospels. It is probably the last one written. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are very similar to one another. They're referred to as the Synoptic Gospels. John writes much later, and John, I believe, writes the rest of the story. I think John well knew of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He knew what they said about Jesus. And so when John sat down to write his gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit, John was going to tell us what else we needed to know about Jesus. And so he writes a gospel that is absolutely amazing. It can be described this way. John is so shallow that children can play in its waters. It is so deep that elephants can swim in it. And if you know anything about John, when I was first taking Greek so many years ago at Freed Hardeman University, when we began translating, and Roddy, you know this all too well, we start in the book of John. You see, John writes at a level kind of like a lot of us learned how to write and read when we were in the first grade. Y'all remember that little reader? How many of y'all had that reader that had, you know, Spot and what was it, Dick and Jane and all those little characters and Puff? Remember the little cat Puff? Some of the younger people are going, what is he talking about? That was the little reader that we had in the first grade, at least in Mississippi where I'm from. John's kind of like that. John is as simple Greek as you could possibly find. And yet the simplicity can deceive us. Because John, as he's writing all of those years after experiencing his life with Jesus Christ, he writes at levels that are absolutely unbelievable. I mean, you begin reading John's gospel and you go deeper and deeper and deeper in your life. Man, he's coming from it from so many different angles, and that's true. And so we're going to dive into the Gospel of John. But more than anything, I want you to see the one to whom John points us to. If you have your Bibles, John 1 verse 1. You'll notice it's very familiar. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now, first thing you recognize in reading John as he begins his gospel is that John mimics another book in the Bible called the book of Genesis. And he does that intentionally. In fact, you can read through John's gospel and look at all those threads that are coming out of the book of Genesis and that he weaves back in his gospel as he tells the story of Jesus. You see, Genesis is the story about beginnings, about creation. John is the story of new beginnings, of new creation. And so as he launches into his gospel, he is intentionally saying, you remember back in the book of Genesis? Let me tell you how it starts all over again in Jesus Christ. And so he says, in the beginning, and then he says, what's the Word? odd way to describe Jesus. The Greek word there is logos. We use it in a lot of our English words. We'll talk about, for instance, biology. Logi there at the end of biology or theology. All goes back to this Greek word, logos. And logos simply means word. And yet, like everything else in the Gospel of John, it's far more complicated than that. Volumes have been written on what the meaning and what John was trying to convey in that. I personally like what the writer of Hebrews had to say about this. In Hebrews chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, the Hebrew writer will say, long ago, in many ways and at many times, God spoke His message. Now, this is coming out of the CEV. Notice that. God spoke His message to our ancestors, but now at last God sent His Son to bring this message to us. And so, what is the Logos? What is the Word of God? And if I could retranslate it, I would retranslate it this way. In the beginning was the message. And the message was with God. And the message was God. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus came to reveal to us not just God's Word, but He came to be His message Himself. He came so that His life, His actions, everything about Him conveyed the message of who God is and what He calls us to be. Now I want you to notice again in John, this time in verse 4. He continues and he says, in Him, talking about the Word, was life. And the life was the light of men. Now that word life is what we've entitled this whole series. And it's an interesting word there. In Greek, there are several words for life. The first one is the word bios. Bios, we get the word biology from it. And bios is simply life. It's animals have bios, plants have bios, we have bios. It is the fact that we are breathing, our hearts are pumping, we have physical life. A second word that's found in the Greek language is psuche. And psuche is that life that involves not only bios, but the emotions and the heart of who we are as human beings, as the image of God. And so you have a lot of passages that talk about, you know, would you really own the whole world and give up your own life, your own psuche? And then the third word is a word that a lot of parents now name their children. Zoe. Or oftentimes today, pronounced in English, Zoe. Zoe is a special form of life. It is the word that John uses in particular in his gospel to talk about what God has called us to. And so if you turn over, for instance, to John 10:10, Jesus will say, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I like in particular the way Eugene Peterson translates that word in his translation called The Message. He says, I came so that they may have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Isn't that what we all are looking for? Don't we want to experience life? You know, the wise man Solomon a long time ago in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11 talks about how that God has made everything beautiful in its time. And he says then, and God has set eternity in the human heart. I don't know that I fully understand what Solomon meant by that. But I do know that there is something within all of us that says that there's got to be more than what we see in this world. Job would put it this way. Job would ask the question, if a man dies, will he live again? I mean, is this all there is? And of course, a lot of people would say, yes, that's all there is. And so what we end up doing is we end up trying to find something in this life that fills the eternity that God has set in each of our hearts. And we turn to everything. I appreciate what Bill Shannon said a while ago as he was going through the history of this wonderful church. Bill, thank you so much for your beautiful words. But he referred to a passage found in the book of Galatians. As Paul would reflect on what John likewise had reflected on in John chapter 1, he would say, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. In Him was life, and that life was the light of the world. And when we come into Jesus Christ, we join Him as He challenges us to be the light of the world through whom He shines in our lives. If you're not shining His light, why not make a decision today to shine His light? Why not to be justified by faith in Jesus Christ as you're baptized into Him so that He comes into you?" You can do that right now. Right now, as together we stand and sing.